Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see y'all here and online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Praise the Lord. All right, now we'll sing At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, by God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. At Calvary, oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Free, pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary.
Amen. All right, now we're going to sing Amazing Grace, just the first and last verse.
Amazing. sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Praise the Lord. Our last song is going to be Grace Greater Than Our Sin. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
All right, thank you, Jesus. If you would, please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, Miss Karen, for playing as always, and Jeremiah for leading as always. Lori, back there in the sound booth, thank you all. If Brother Marco, if you could kind of maybe have an ear out for that door, I've already locked us in, and so doubt there's somebody else coming, but you never know. You never know, and they could begin to rattle on the door back there, so we want to get them in if they want in. Amen? Everybody doing good? Doing good, all right. Miss Jackie, you got a mask on. Look at you, girl. All right, you all masked up. Way to go. Very good. Amen. Well, Harris County is getting thumped about right now. You've kept up with the news at all. COVID-19 is really spiking there. I think my wife was telling me that the ICU beds down in the medical center are getting fooled up to the point where Texas Children's is beginning to take adult patients down there in the med center. So, my goodness. So, we continue on with this, but good to see each and every one of you here tonight. Tomball Schools is kind of, they were doing a strength and conditioning camp for high school and junior high. My daughter, Lillian, was a part of the junior high program. They'd be dropped off at 8 in the morning and be picked up by 10. And they've canceled that for the next 2 weeks. In lieu of what Governor Abbott has said, stay home. Well, we're not staying home. Here we are worshiping. Amen. So, you know, I think this is essential. I think we can only stay home and watch so much. But watching and being here are two different things. I've heard some pastors kicking around the idea that they're going to end their live stream to kind of encourage their people back in. I don't know how productive that would be. It's kind of putting a line in the sand and forcing people. And my experience has been with volunteers and lay people, you don't force anybody to do anything. The Holy Spirit be leading them. So I don't know how all that's going to happen and work. I'm really torn. You know, I would like folks to come back, but I understand the fear of it all. But then people will go to the beach and people will go to the Walmarts and they'll go wherever. They'll go out to eat. They'll go to a family reunion and spend all day. And we're talking about being every other pew and 6 feet apart. And if you're over 65, masking up, and people want to put on the brakes on that. Just I'm trying to connect the dots and they're not wanting to connect. So, and then you get out of the habit of coming, and you know, and you can sit there in your, you know, your pajamas or your bedclothes, or you know, you don't have to brush your teeth or put your deodorant on, or and you can be real comfortable. I get it, but boy, there comes a time when our God, our Heavenly Father, I think he deserves more. I think he deserves more, right? I think he deserves more than maybe what we're doing or giving him in our worship. And you say, well, Pastor, we can worship anywhere. You can. But there's just something about eye to eye, face to face, heart to heart, in the same room. There's just something of the energy of that, the spirit of that. Not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't use His Word and apply it to your heart and your life there. I don't know. You pray for your pastor. Maybe we'll figure it out together. Amen? We do have some prayer requests. We've got Lori's co-worker. His name is Zeus. Is that correct? Zeus? Zeus. His name is Zeus, and he's in his 40s. And he's having surgery on one eye or both eyes? Just one eye. And this eye surgery is to prevent his retina from detaching. Is that correct? Okay, so we want to lift up Zeus, Lori's co-worker tonight, having eye surgery to prevent this retina detachment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for him. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We lift up Lori's co-worker to you, Lord, and we just pray that you would be with the eye surgeon and you would be with the support staff that are going to be helping with this procedure. And Lord, we just ask that you guide that eye surgeon's hand and get Zeus through this. Lord, we pray that his sight would be saved and this eye would be saved. And Lord, as we pray for his sight, we pray for his spiritual sight as well, Lord. We pray that you would pull the scales from his spiritual sight and allow him to see the gospel and allow him to experience Jesus and God's Word like he's never experienced before. And we pray that as we lift him up physically, Lord, we pray for him spiritually that, Lord, that he would come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is in his life and in his heart. And Lord, you would call Zeus from the darkness into the light, and he would respond and receive. And Lord, I pray you would use Lori to sow the seeds of the gospel and encourage him along the path. And Lord, I pray for other Christians to come alongside and evangelize and share the gospel with Zeus as well. Thank you for him, Lord. We look forward to meeting him one day. And Lord, we pray that he has his sight and he has his sight. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. We're lifting up Ronnie Holman tonight. Ronnie has had surgery to remove a kidney, I believe, and then some other parts of his body that had cancer in them. And so we want to lift up Ronnie Holman tonight. Ronnie and Nancy Holman, I believe he's still in the hospital. Has anybody got a firm update on that? I don't think they've sent him home yet, but maybe they have. He had the surgery down in the med center. But Brother Marco, would you lift up Brother Ronnie Holman tonight? If you come to the mic there so we can have it out on the live stream tonight. Thank you, brother.
Sir. Our most graciously Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come to your house and just sing praises to you and hear your word
Amen.
Tonight. Father, we pray that you would forgive us or where we fail you, Lord. Forgive us when we say things and do things that are not pleasing to you, Father,
yes.
that go against your word, your will, and your way. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and we humbly bow before your throne of grace and your throne of mercy and your throne of peace, Lord. We lift up Ronnie to you, Father, as he's had this kidney surgery. We just pray for him, Father. We pray for his healing. We pray, Father, that you would be his strength. We pray for a miraculous recovery, Father. We pray for his doctors and his nurses while he's in the hospital.
Yes.
That
right.
you would just give them wisdom and discernment as they attend for his care. Lord, we pray for his wife. Lord, we lift her up to you. We pray that you would also give her strength. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage her, Father. We pray, Lord, that she knows and Ronnie knows that you are with them and you hold their right hand and you walk beside them in front of them, Father. So we pray, Father, that you would just continue to bring godly people around them to encourage them, Father, and to lift them up. We ask all this in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good. And then we want to lift up Alita and Ronnie Vakulik tonight, and James Trevathan. Alita and Ronnie, of course, have gone through the COVID, and she's come out on the other side of it, doing great, feeling great, but she has gotten two other additional tests, you know, to see if you're clear or whatever, and they both come back positive on her. And so she finally called the Harris County hotline, talked to one of the nurses there with Harris County, and the lady said, well, your body's still shedding viral particles, probably just dead skin cells in your nasal cavity, because that's where they go, you know, that's where they go hunting, right, with the, you know, hold on, this is going to be a little uncomfortable, that's where they get up on in there. And so I think Miss Alita's going to get to discover the wonderful experience of the neti pot, because that's what they encouraged her to do, was neti pot, said she's not contagious, encouraged her to get with her employer and have her employer get the county information, and she's good to go back to work. So she's been working from home, but she's good to go back to work. Talked to Ronnie today, and he's waiting on his second results on his second test. But sometimes these additional tests that you get for after you've been diagnosed with COVID, they said you can test positive for 18 weeks and not be contagious. You're not contagious. You don't have any symptoms. It's not like you're asymptomatic. Your body has dealt with it. And so unbelievable. It just continues to pull people apart. Kind of the perfect storm. Let's separate, and then let's throw racial divide and political tension. And I think the old devil's come against us. So that's what I think. But anyway, we want to lift up Alita and Ronnie. And then James. James kind of thought he had been exposed to somebody at work, but did not get within that range to be considered quarantinable. So they're taking his temperature every time he goes, or they're taking everybody's temperature every time they go to James's place of business to work. And so that's how you get in. You got to have a low, got to have a normal temp. So I want to lift these guys up, Ronnie and Alita and James. Brother Paul McCormick, would you go to the mic and lift them up for me tonight? Ronnie and Alita and James Trevathan. Just pray that God give them health and keep them on the straight and narrow there. Thank you, Brother Paul.
Father, we come before you tonight thanking you for what you do, your grace and your mercy.
Yes.
Your provision for us, Father, your plans for our lives. We ask, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins and where we fail you, Father. Mm-hmm. Help us to live and be pleasing to you at all times.
That's right.
Father, we thank you. We come before you in regards to Ronnie and Alita.
Yes.
Father, they got exposed to the virus, tested positive, have kind of gone through the system, gone through the virus. And Father, we just ask that you'd help clear up their bodies now so they can get a reasonable test and be able to go back to work as they
That's
want
right.
to.
Amen.
And the same with James, Father. We just ask that you'd protect him.
Yes.
Keep him from getting the virus all over his lungs and his nose and his nasal and his sinuses, Father. You're in control. You made our bodies, and you can take care of them.
That's right.
We just ask that you'd do so according to your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Paul. And then we want to pray tonight for Brother John Thornhill, and it's Vince Kimball, right? Those are our two guys that are with the Christian Builders in Arkansas. And what part of Arkansas are they in? Russellville, Arkansas. And they're with the group of Christian Builders, and are they working at a church or a camp this year? I can't remember. Christian facility, okay. And have we heard from them? They doing okay? Amen. All right, we'll pray for them. And then we'll pray for, is it Crystal, last name? Crystal Taylor, yeah. And we'll pray for her family. Crystal Taylor family. We'll pray. Continue to pray for Sissy and Daryl and the loss of their biological dad as they continue to go through that time of mourning. And then we want to lift up Marty Davis, loss of Vic. All right. Any other prayer requests after that? Yes, ma'am. Daddy, how's Daddy doing? Okay. So you think he's going to do some treatment? No. But that's tomorrow. Thursday. Downtown, close. Tomball, okay. All right. In Tomball, that's awesome. Very good. Are you guys eating out, or y'all still hunkering down pretty close to home? Hunkering down. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good way. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Never going back. I hear you. Any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Praise, I'll take it. Annabelle got a job. Really? Well, good for her. Yeah, Kroger and Magnolia, that's close. Close to her, amen. Yeah, all right, Annabelle, job. Way to go. Any other praises? You got a praise there, Olivia? Huh? A prayer request. Okay, Olivia. Kelsey with the Crohn's. Yeah, that's tough, especially at that age. Kelsey with Crohn's. Okay, all right. Anything else? Yes, sir, Brother Paul. Unspoken. All right. All right. Is that it? Got them? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll close out our prayer time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you and we praise you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word that we're about to get to read. And Lord, we thank you that we can feed upon it tonight and that we can gather it up, Lord. And Father God, we can just internalize it and study it and look at it from different angles. And Father God, I pray as we do that, that our hearts would be illumined, that the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God and make application to us where we need to have it applied. And Lord, would strengthen us, would help us, would give us Christian backbone, would give us, Lord, just Christian strength, would just give us the willpower to just go and do for you, God, and live your gospel and be a light and be salt in this old strange, divided world right now that so desperately needs the church and so desperately needs Christians, Lord. I pray that you would raise all the Christians up, Lord, and all the churches, and that, Lord, we would be a testimony for you, and we would be a good testimony. We would point people towards you during these most difficult times. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. As we think about closing this time out tonight, Lord, our hearts are still heavy for several friends and family and loved ones that we know. And Lord, we begin to lift up Sissy and Daryl to you tonight as they continue to mourn over the death of their biological dad. And Lord, we just pray that you be in the midst of that situation and you bring the justice that needs to happen. And Lord, you give grace where grace needs to be and mercy and all of those things. But Lord, we pray you comfort that family and be with them and watch over them during this time. And then Crystal Taylor's family, Lord, we pray for her. We're thankful for her testimony and salvation. And Lord, we pray for her family. We pray that you comfort them, that you help them. Same for Marty Davis as she continues to mourn the loss of Brother Vic. Lord, we just lift her up and we pray comforting grace and mercy upon her. Thank you for Brother Vic's testimony and his willingness to serve you and be very outspoken when it comes to what you had done for him, how you had saved him, and how you had put him on a path of righteousness. We thank you for that. Lord, we lift up Brother Bill Neal to you tonight. We pray for this appointment that he has in the morning at 11 a.m. To discuss his potential options of cancer treatment for this lung cancer. Lord, we just pray for wisdom in that meeting. We pray for discernment. We just pray you give Brother Bill the peace. You show him what door to open, Lord, and you just you help him with peace as he makes his decision. We know you're a sovereign God, and Lord, we know you bless, and we know you heal. And Lord, we just lifted him up and praying for healing for his body. And Lord, just pray you give him wisdom and direction. And Miss Karen, Lord, we just pray that you would be with her, give her the words to speak to her father to help him as he comes to these life decisions for himself and for his family. We lift up Olivia's friend, Kelsey, with Crohn's disease, Lord. We pray that you would just be with Kelsey, bring healing to her body, Lord. We pray the flare-ups would be few and far between. And when she is flared, Lord, we pray that you would just bring that inflammation, bring it back into check, and Lord, just help her get on down the road with her life. We pray that one day this Crohn's would go in remission for her, and she wouldn't have to deal with it every week, every month. Lord, we pray that that would be a thing of the past. You'd give her a miracle of healing, Lord, but we're praying for Kelsey, and we're lifting her up to you tonight. We do praise you tonight that Annabelle has found the job. You've delivered a job to her, Lord. You've handed a job in her lap, and Father God, I pray that she just excels where you've placed her. It's a good experience for her, and Lord, it just helps her just keep on keeping on. Thank you for this opportunity for her, and Lord, I know she'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for how you're providing for her needs. And then, Lord, as we think about all the unspokens that are represented here and even represented with those that are watching online, God, we know that you're in control. We know that you have our best interests at heart. We know that you're for us and not against us. And Lord, we just ask for strength. We ask for help. We ask for patience. We ask for, Lord, to help us as we face these unspokens and as we carry these unspokens and as we lay these things down at your feet tonight. Lord, thank you that you're a God that loves us, hears us, and wants to help us, and wants to help these situations. We praise you tonight, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for how you love us and provide for us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you all tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're in Exodus chapter 16, and I'll pick it up in verse 2, and we'll try to read through about verse 12 tonight, 2 through 12. And we're dealing with that manna passage, and manna and quail, and some water. Got to have some water with the quail and the manna. That bird can get dry. Got to have a little water with it. Heart can get dry. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. Have you found it? All right. If you feel led to stand, we invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Word of God reads this in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. It says, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Think about what we're facing. Think about what we're facing. On a lot of angles, maybe this is a test. Maybe this is a test. I talked to a fellow Christian brother today, okay? He's riding his bike by, happened to stop under our awning, it was raining. I pulled up, said, are you lost? Do you know where you're going? Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, figure out my route home, right? Lives in Tomball. Man, we got into this long conversation about church, and he's a member of a sister church in town. And, you know, we were talking about his church, talking about this church, and man, the bottom line is, some churches are going to come through this stronger, and some churches ain't going to be church no more. Some churches ain't going to be no church no more. At that church is going to be done, right? This stuff that we face is a test. It is a test, these difficult circumstances and trying times. Are we going to do what? Are we going to walk in His instruction, or are we going to go the way of the world? Really, right? Okay, that's verse what? 4? On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your grumbling against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning, for the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against Him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for He has heard your grumblings. It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the reading of your word. May you open it to us, Lord, and may we receive the truth that is contained herein. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, very good. All right. Well, last time we talked, we were talking about how God does what? How God provides manna and quail. Manna and quail. Bread and bird, right? Meat and yummy, right? Manna. Good. We said the ungrateful attitude of the Egyptians significantly parallels the Christian life. What are you talking about? God abundantly provides for us, but we grumble. And I said, you know, maybe I'm just telling on myself. But we grumble much of the time, right? Much of the time. We said we can learn the dangers of grumbling here in this passage. We said one of the first lessons is clear. Moses reminded the people that when they grumbled against himself and Aaron, they were actually grumbling against God, per Exodus chapter 16, verse 8. They weren't grumbling, they're grumbling against Aaron and Moses, but they're really grumbling against God. The same is true for us. As Christians, we know that grumbling against God is not good. And so we grumble about our circumstances and we think that this is a safe thing to do. But if we're grumbling against hard circumstances, oh, is me. Woe is me. Man, I can't believe this. If we're grumbling against hard circumstances or the difficulties we face, based on this passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, that we find ourselves in, we are really grumbling against who? Who are we grumbling against? That's right. We're grumbling against God. So as we begin afresh this evening, looking deeper into this, in this journey that these Israelites, Hebrews, God's chosen people are on, in this journey, God did two things to provide for the people. What did He do? He provided quail, which are little birds, right? And He provided manna, which was a bread-like substance that they found on the ground in the mornings. Now, how many of you, if you found bread-like substance on the ground in the morning, how many of you would pick that up and process it and eat it, right? You talking about herd immunity. That's some herd immunity right there, gathering that stuff up off the ground, right? And making it up into what would be manna bread. I mean, that we're talking about some herd immunity. The manna, when we look at it from a biblical perspective with the Holy Spirit inside of us, saved and headed for the day of redemption, when we look at the manna is nothing but an utter miracle. Nothing can explain it. But the quail are a natural phenomenon. And we said that, I think, last time. We said sometimes, you know, God chooses to provide for us via the miraculous, and sometimes God chooses to provide for us via the natural world. And that's what's going on here. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Great flocks of these small little quail birds came south from the Mediterranean into Africa in the winter. And in the spring, they make their way back north. As the quail fly long distances, they become so exhausted that people can almost pick them up off the ground. These little guys just can't go anymore. Apparently, that is what happened. This was spring, the Passover time. And as the quail made their journey north, the wind, which was of God, the wind did what? The wind blew them little guys to the point where, hey, that looks like dinner, right? I'm going to get some, yeah? And so you can just imagine it was a, now can I be a little graphic with you? It was a picking up quail and a ring a neck party, man. Pick a quail, ring a neck, put him in a, what do you put him in, a knapsack or something? Yeah, pick him up, ring a neck, put him in a knapsack. You got to eat, amen? You got to eat. So the manna was quite different. What was the manna? The manna was a white wafer that tasted like honey. Now, I told y'all the bee story, right? The bee story in the backyard. We were doing the fence. We had a beehive in the Comcast, you know, the cable hub. We called a beekeeper that we knew. He came over. He brought a bee box. He got the queen out of the Comcast hub into the bee box. All of the bees followed on the ground, crawled into the bee box, because they got to be by the queen. They protect the queen, right? All great guns, great story. Thought we were going to get him 15,000 bees. We were going to get some free honey out of the deal. Not that they had any honey in the Comcast hub, because they hadn't made honey yet. But they were making the comb to get ready to make the honey and all that jazz. And so the queen, she didn't like the box. And so about 6:15 that evening, she said, "We're out of here." And it was like a water hose. It's just a little bitty hole in the bottom of that bee box. It was like somebody turned on a water hose full blast of bees. And they came out and landed up in the tree. They balled up on a tree branch. They were there for a day and a half. And then they were gone. Right? Right? How many of you like honey? Love it. Right? The beekeeper, he brought me a jar of honey. He said, "This year is an exceptionally good year. It all depends on what they feed on, what they pollinate." Oh, my soul. you get the honey. How many of you get the Kroger honey? The Burleson honey? You bought that before, the Burleson honey? I got out two pieces of bread, Brother Paul, put them both in the toaster, toasted them up, got out a jar of Jif peanut butter. What did we use, Jif or Peter Pan? Jif, got a knife out, slathered this one up, slathered this one. I'm going to do a taste test. See how good this honey is. So I put the Burlesons, which is good honey, by the way. Put the Burlesons on one piece of toast. Come from Kroger. Honey bear, it's in a bear. Look at the honey bear. Kiss the honey bear. Livia used to kiss the honey bear way back in the day. Kiss the honey bear. And put the honey on the peanut butter toast. Took the honey from the beekeeper, right, who lives out here somewhere, Stagecoach, Waller. They're part of Tomball ISD, so I don't know how far they're at. They're probably close to the Stagecoach. Took a spoon, because that was in a little canning jar. Dipped that and put that on the bread. Oh, I'll do the Burleson first. You know, I'll give it advantage. Bite of that. That's good, not bad. Friend, I took a bite of that beekeeper honey from over here. Whoa, that was some good honey, man. The most delicate. You could just tell the taste of it, the texture of it. You say, could it be that different? It was that different. Here we have this honey-tasting manna, right? Nothing could explain it, right? Beautiful thing, a white wafer that tasted like honey, per verse 31, and was found every morning on the ground around the camp, verses 13 and 14. So it came about at evening, and the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, I'm in 16, 13, and 14, surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. Now, the Israelites did not know what it was. They had never seen anything like it. And I want to tell you, liberal commentators fall all over themselves trying to explain this miraculous event. They try to explain it by natural means. Now, hey, God can use the natural, bless you. God can use the natural to provide for you, and He can use the supernatural to provide for you. The quail, very natural thing. I'm just going to change the wind direction and tire these little boogers up. You're going to be able to pick them up, wring their neck, put them in the knapsack. Versus the supernatural. When the dew clears, it's harvest time. Go get your bread, or go get the ingredients for your bread. Liberal commentators, many have credited this edible wafer to a kind of insect that lives on a tamarisk tree and secretes a honey-like substance. Now, that sounds gross to me, eating a bug's secretions on a tree. They've also suggested that the manna might have been a kind of lichen. Now, what do you mean by lichen? A lichen is a type of gray, pale fungus, all right? That doesn't sound very appetizing either, does it? A gray, pale fungus. It grows on rocks, and it's about the size of a little green pea. That had to be a lot of fungus, and it had to be growing pretty quick. And that sounds just yuck. Amen? Yuck. I mean, if you were grossed out about wringing the quail's neck, I mean, that ought to just put you over the top. Amen? What matters is that the Israelites had manna to eat wherever they journeyed for 40 years, every single day except on Saturday. Except on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, they were to do what? They were to gather 2 days for each person, right? It was clearly miraculous. When they first saw the substance, they did not say, this is the Bible does not record that they said, oh, this is so interesting what these little insects have secreted for us to harvest. They didn't say anything like that. No, they said, they saw it, and they said, man, huh? They said, man, huh? That's what they said. They said, man, huh? Which means, in Hebrew, what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? What is it? It's a miracle. What is it God's provided? What is it? It's there every morning. What is it? There's twice as much on before the Sabbath. There's twice as much for each person. Right? Amen? From this, we have the word man who. We get manna. Well, we want to look at some instructions concerning the manna. Everything you wanted to know about manna tonight. Instructions concerning the manna. 6 mornings a week, they were to do what? Gather enough for each individual. They could not keep the manna until the next day because it would do what? It would spoil. It would go bad. However, on the sixth day, they were to gather a double portion because no manna would be provided on the Sabbath. That is correct. They were to rest on that day. One other instruction helps us to understand the significance of the manna. The Israelites were to take an omer of manna, put it in a jar, and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant. If you'll look at 1634 with me, we're kind of jumping ahead, but let's look at it. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. That is another term for the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, this is anachronistic reference, because they had not yet what? They had not yet constructed the Ark of the Covenant or the tabernacle. They're just getting going. They're just heading out. Nevertheless, when the time came, they were to take the manna and lay it in the holy place of the tabernacle as a reminder of what the Lord had done. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, when the Israelites gathered to hear Moses' final words to them, he exhorted the people, and this is what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, those of you out there in internet land. He said, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you," here's the word again, "testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." The manna was miraculous and necessary for daily nourishment, but more important than this, heaven-sent physical bread is every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So put that into perspective. We can go to our Kroger's and our Walmart's and our different places to get our bread, but why would we not come to our place of worship to get our bread? Huh? Wow. Make you think, won't it? Amen? Right? Praise the Lord. A lot of heads bobbing up and down, shaking, right? They're over on the internet going, they're doing that. You're going to come around. I'm telling you, you're going to come around. I feel it in my bones. You're going to come around. You talking to me, preacher? I'm talking to you. You're going to come around. I'm telling you. It's going to happen for you. All right? Deuteronomy tells us that we can draw a parallel between God's provision of the manna and the way we are to feed on the Scriptures. The way we are to feed on the Scriptures. Jesus himself quoted this text in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. This part where it says that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Where does he use that? He uses that in his temptation. The temptation account quoted by Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Luke's account, Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Manna was bread from heaven, but that bread from heaven reminds us that we need the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven is this Bible. The true bread from heaven is this Word. Jesus talked about exactly this in his great discourse on John chapter 6, verses 25 through 59. In this very passage, I think a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I do a whole series on the Lord's Supper out of this discourse in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 29. In other words, I do about a year's worth of Lord's Supper messages out of that discourse, because it's all about what? It's all about Jesus, and it's all about He's the what? The bread of life, and it's all about what? We need to take Him. Amen? And isn't that what the Lord's Supper represents, right? Jesus' body is the bread. His blood is the cup, right? And so it's a beautiful picture. In this discourse, John 6:25-59, just to kind of summarize it, that's a lot to try to go to and read tonight here at 10 till 8. He had fed the people, Jesus, John 6. He had fed the people by multiplying bread and fish. Beautiful thing, right? In the wilderness, they wanted more physical healing, and they wanted healing and this more of Jesus making this food for them. And Jesus said that what they most needed was not the bread that was not the bread that had come from heaven provided by Moses, which was duplicating in some sense, but what they needed was the true bread. And that's when he says, I am. That's what he says in that discourse. I am the true bread. And that's what he told them. In other words, Jesus was saying that they needed him. They needed him. Amen? So what can we learn from the manna as we kind of close it out tonight? Manna was a supernatural gift. It was miraculous. It was not a product of some biological organism. It was not man-made. It was not something that the Israelites brought with them out of Egypt. God provided the manna, and He provided it directly from heaven. To make a parallel with the Scriptures, as Deuteronomy encourages us to do, we must remind ourselves that the Bible is like this. The Bible is a gift from God, right? The Bible is for us. The Bible is not a man-made book. Let me say that again. The Bible is not a man-made book. And you will say, and I will agree with you, oh, Pastor, isn't it true that the Bible came to us through human hands and human authors? And I would say you're absolutely correct. But Peter makes the point, the very valid point, the most important point, a very clear point, that the human authors just did not write down whatever came out of their own fertile brains, but were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along. 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. They wrote what God intended them to write. This is why we call the Bible the Word of God. Amen? As the Word of God, the Bible carries with it the characteristics that we associate with God. What are these characteristics? Well, one is perfection. God is perfect. Is He not? God is perfect. Amen? So if God is perfect, then the Bible, His book, is perfect. Now, we say it's without error. We call it the inerrancy of Scripture. Means that in its original form, there are no errors in it. These translations can have some miscues, some missteps here and there, but by and far, all the major doctrinal things in there are straight on, right on. Right? Straight on and right on. Amen? One is perfection. Another one is, does God lie? Is God a liar? Yes or no? No. God does not lie. Therefore, His Bible is truthful. Right? God tells the truth. The Bible tells the truth and contains, again, no errors. And because God, the sovereign God, is authoritative, and this is where our culture kind of struggles with the Word of God, because He's sovereign and He's authoritative, then His Bible is what? Authoritative as well. It holds some authority over us. Above all, we can say, just like the manna, the Bible is a supernatural book. Well, we're trying to learn some things from the manna and tie it into our culture and our time and where we're living and what we're going through as a society right now. The manna, back then, had to be gathered daily. The manna back then had to be gathered. God gave the manna to the Israelites freely. They didn't have to do anything to earn it. In the same way, we did not earn the Bible. God has given it to us freely. Nevertheless, manna did not fall into the Israelites' mouths. Manna did not fall on the Israelites' plates. Manna did not fall into their sacks. They had to do what? They had to work it off the ground. They had to combine it. They had to bake it or whatever to make it man-huh. What is this? Man, it tastes like honey. I don't know what it is, but it sure is good. A little work, and man, look what we got. They had to go out in the morning and gather it up. This suggests to us that if we are to benefit from the Bible, it must require work on our part. It must require work. Got to require work. Now, if you think it was difficult for Pastor Lee to spoon feed you before, now that you got these masks on, ain't no way. Ain't no way. The choo-choo train can't make it in there. The num-num can't get in the top of your mouth when I pull out the spoon, right? It's got to take work on everybody's part. We have to gather it up. We have to study it for ourselves, amen? Nobody ever said that Bible study was easy. You hear somebody talk about how easy Bible study is, and I'll tell you, they ain't studying the Bible. Bible study is not easy. It's hard work. All kinds of study are hard. Geometry, Trevor, hard. You would agree? Algebra, hard. Don't like it, right? I mean, you'd prefer to study something else. It's hard. Amen? For me, physics, didn't like it. Chemistry, not my favorite, right? Hard. Hard to study. Hard to get these things. Nobody ever said Bible study was easy. It's hard work. All kinds of study are hard, but the Bible is especially hard. Do you know why studying the Bible is so hard for us? I mean, think about it. Why is the Bible? We have the Holy Spirit if we're saved, right? And He illumines the Scripture to us. But still in the midst of that, there's two things going on inside of us, right? There's our flesh that's dying and on its way out. There's the Spirit that's alive and taking us to the glory of God, to the throne room of heaven one day in a glorified body. I mean, why is it so hard? It's so hard because because what the Bible says, God's ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Per Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. 55:8, the prophet of Isaiah. So when we come to the Bible, we will always find things that we do not understand, right? We have to wrestle with the Bible. We have to struggle with it. We have to sift through our prejudices. Pastor Lee has prejudices that I have to sift through. We have to sift through our racist thoughts. Pastor Lee has racist thoughts, right? Because God's ways are not my ways. I'm a selfish human being. You say, you're racist against black people? That would be the furthest group of people that I'm racist against. But I am racist against other groups of people, right? That I struggle with. I have to confess on a daily basis at times that I'm prejudiced and racist, right? I hear them speak on the TV and I have to change the channel or get upset. So just change the channel, right? Am I the only one? Okay, right? Well, I feel a little bit better. I have to sift through my own prejudice. We have to sift through our own racist thoughts. We even have to sift through our own hypocritical leanings. Your own hypocritical leanings, right? But why? Because God's ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts, right? But if we'll stay with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit promises to illuminate to us, right? But we've got to stay in it. We got to stay with it, stay in it, stay with it. And as we do that, we'll begin to see the error of our ways, of our hypocritical leanings. We'll begin to see the error of our ways, of our racist thoughts. We'll begin to see the error of our ways, of our prejudices. We'll begin to see the error of the ways of our idiosyncrasies and just our narcissisms. We'll begin to see the error of our ways as the Holy Spirit illumines it. And as the Holy Spirit illumines the truth to us, and we ingest it because we've gathered it, and we've done the work of it, we'll begin to appreciate it. And we won't run from the authority of it. We will attempt to live by the Word of God. Amen? And friend, that's why you need to be here tonight. Every other pew and 6 feet spaced out with your mask and your gloves on. That's why you need to be here tonight. or maybe you'll be here Sunday, right? Friend, you got to get back on the horse. You can't live your life in a bubble. And as I close it out tonight, Harris County is wanting people to stay home. What they're not telling you, okay, Pastor Leah, just be real honest with you. What they're not telling you is that they don't want you to stay home so you won't get it. They just want you to stay home so you'll slow it down. Everybody going to get it, right? Well, Pastor, there's a vaccine coming. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that in January, February, March of 2021. But don't hold your breath, right? Say it with me. You can't live your life in a bubble. Now, some congregations are not practicing social distancing. We are practicing social distancing, okay? Every other pew, family units, pods, groups, 6 feet apart on the same pew, right? You don't have to spit on each other, hug each other, shake each other's hands, but you need to see each other's eyes over each other's masks. Everybody's got some pretty eyes in here. You need to see one another's eyes. There's something lost in translation when we don't see each other's countenances. I'm telling you, I've watched the live stream, and it's okay, but there's nothing like being here. Pray it through. Take your vitamin C, your vitamin D. Bring your Germex. Mask up, glove up, and I'll see you Sunday. Amen? I hope too. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Those of you that are watching online, give these folks that are here in the congregation, give them a round of applause. Amen? And those of you sitting in here, give those folks a round of applause that watched online. Amen? All right. You're one step closer to being here. You watched it online, and we know you're coming back. So let's have a closing word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight at 8:01. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, we do pray for these essential churches that are in these communities, Lord, that are in this county and in Harris County. Lord, we're not praying for Bedlam, and we're not praying for a reckless worship service. We're praying, Lord, that you would protect us, that as we follow the guidelines of staying 6 feet apart, and Lord, over the age of 65, masking up and even having on gloves and Germexing coming in the building and Germexing going out of the building, Lord, and just using common sense, God, I pray that we would get past this, and we would get back to having a testimony for you as that parking lot fills back up. And as these pews fill back in, every other pew, 6 feet apart. Lord, I pray you would do a work in us. And Lord, help us balance what we hear in the media. But Lord, I pray we would take these things with a grain of salt. Because Lord, there's a lot of politics involved in all of this. And Lord, I pray you'd give us the wisdom and the discernment to see that for what it is. And Lord, I do pray you protect us. You protect the vulnerable. You protect the elderly. Lord, that you protect those first responders, those doctors and nurses. Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around them. We pray that their PPE would not infect them, Lord. When you have all that stuff on and you begin to take it all off, sometimes you get contaminated just getting it off of you. And Lord, we just pray you keep them safe in that sense. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your church. And Lord, we pray that this church would grow stronger through this COVID situation. And we would not take a step backwards, but we would take a step forward. Lord, we love you tonight and we praise you tonight for all you do. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now that sounded like a heavenly, I thought is the Lord calling me up right now? No. It's beautiful. I thought we were about to go, Miss Karen. Oh my goodness, that's great. And it was beautiful. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll hear a ring and it's some kind of secular song.